Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea. Right after the book of Daniel, Hosea, page 1305 in my Bible. I'm going to talk to you about faithfulness to God today. And that's a broad topic, I know, but we need to be faithful. Praise the Lord. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, we want to notice the scriptures, the word of God. Hosea 6 and 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? Your faithfulness is like the morning cloud, or like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, and I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that you'd encourage our hearts and our lives with your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the heart and the need of each person here today, as only you are able to do. And anoint your servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Faithfulness to God. Hosea here, he prophesied under four kings. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. Under the kings Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah. So he had a long ministry, and God used him powerfully to speak to the people. And Israel was in a time of great prosperity, and material things had increased, and they were doing good, and God was blessing them, and God would bless them according to Old Testament promises that promise that God had made, that he would bless their crops and he would cause the rain to come at the right time and they would be a prosperous people. And so that was happening. But as they say, as they begin to prosper, their spiritual life took a turn for the loss, took a turn for the worse. And goes, you know, when God blesses people, a lot of times we take credit for ourselves that God's blessed us and look what I've done. But no, we're blessed today. We draw our next breath because God gave it. Our heart beats the next time because God allowed it to. And we are controlled by God. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't want to be under the control of anybody. I do. I want to be under God's control. Amen. You give your life to him, you're asking Jesus to take control of your life. And so Hosea describes the spiritual adultery while using marital unfaithfulness as comparison to Israel's unfaithfulness to God. And you find this throughout the book of Hosea. You know, of all things, you know, Hosea marries a woman who either was a harlot or became a harlot. And she was, anyway, she became unfaithful to her husband, to Hosea. And then God restored that relationship throughout the book, if you find that. But it was a picture here of Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God restoring them. So when it speaks of adultery here, it's talking about spiritual adultery, and that is people living or cheating on God and making God less in their life, whereas self becomes more. That's a bad thing. But like marriage, faithfulness to one's companion is accepted as a part of marriage, or it should be. If it's real marriage, it is. And likewise, we weren't saved to return to the desires of the old sinful nature. We were saved to be faithful to God. And so God is faithful to us. And I think the Bible describes God as God is faithful. Amen. It is he who he is. He wants to develop faithfulness in his people. And God is faithful to forgive us. God is faithful to revive us. God is faithful to restore us. And there's, you say, well, if I failed so many times, why did God restore me? I want to tell you, there's one thing about God that's good. There's many things about God that's good, but God is merciful, and merciful enough to forgive, merciful enough to restore, merciful enough to revive. Amen. God is merciful, and God is faithful to do all of these things. You know, it's amazing to me. God wants to develop his character in us, and we You know, if somebody does us wrong and they ask forgiveness, we forgive them. Or if we have to forgive somebody, or if somebody has to forgive, we want forgiveness immediately, don't we? We don't want them to wait a while until they search things out and thought things through and reworked it. But when we sin, we won't go. We expect God to forgive us right now. And so, that's the difference between you and God. If you thought you were God, you're not. I'm not either. But God's very powerful. But God is faithful. He doesn't abandon us. He didn't cast us off to the side and say, "You're no good. I don't want you anymore." God's desire is to restore His people always, forgive them, because God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. And people start living for the Lord with a great motivation usually. As a matter of fact, most denominations were started under the fire of revival. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Assemblies of God, all whatever you want to, they started in great revival. But somewhere along the line, they began to lose the fervor. They began to lose the power. They began to lose the excitement about being a Christian, about being a child of God. And they begin to drift further and further until they become unfaithful to God. And they are a project for God to restore instead of staying on fire to God to start with. But it's not good just to start on fire. We need to be on fire and end with the fire of God within us. Praise the Lord. And never turn from our faithfulness to God. Let's just question ourselves this morning. How is your spiritual life? Are you consistent in simple things like reading your Bible and praying? You say, "Well, I don't have time." Let me tell you something, friend. Everything that a person really wants to do bad enough, they'll make time for it and push something else aside. Do you think occasionally going to church or worship is okay? Or is there an endless list of lame excuses for ignoring God? Or is your faithfulness to God optional depending on how you feel at the moment? Do we think our children, the people we're bringing up, our grandchildren here, will have any commitment to serve God if we're only occasionally faithful? They won't. God has chosen you and I to set the example. You know, is faithfulness optional to you and to your children? Let me just put this, insert this here, where I grew up. Church attendance was not optional. I mean, I never remember asking Mother and Daddy, "Are we going to church today?" If they were having church, they weren't going to have it without us. And my dad was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. Amen. But when he said, "Let's get ready to go to church," he wasn't kidding. He wasn't just hunting for words to say. Amen. So is faithfulness optional to you or to your children? You might ask yourself that question today. But I want to tell you something. If you really want to serve the Lord, faithfulness cannot be optional. I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what. When I fail, I'm going to ask God's forgiveness, then I'm going to pick up and go on. But let's look at what faithfulness is for just a moment. Israel knew God's blessings, but they had drifted into idolatry, and God could not bless idolatry. He wouldn't bless. He proved throughout Scripture that He would not bless the worship of other gods. But their relationship with God seemed to be outward and not inward, but it must be inward. And their faithfulness was temporary. In verse 4, it's described here, he said, "Your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away." In other words, when the sun comes out and things get a little warmer, then you're through being faithful. But faithfulness to God must be continual and unconditional. Man, and I've studied the doctrine of unconditional security. And the word unconditional bothers me. Because God puts conditions on our walk with Him. And if you're living for God, you're secure. If you're living for God, if you turn away from Him and get cold, you're not very secure. Because you could fall away. But faithfulness is the continual pursuit of a person, place, or thing. And so, I wrote this in my notes before I heard about what happened to El Paso, but I was looking on a map one time, and from Orange, Texas, to El Paso, Texas is 851 miles. I mean, that's a long ways to go in one state. And if you ever drive that down Interstate 10, you would find that that's not the most fun drive in the world. I've never driven that far. But I want to tell you something, unless a person stayed with it and was continually on the road and didn't have to stop every 5 minutes, we'll just say it was a male making this journey. But it'd take a long time to get there. But you'd have to stay with it and be faithful if he's going to go that many miles. Most people that are successful in life are people that stay with it. If it's either a career or something that benefits their way of life, it's because they stayed with it. And I've been around people, and you have too, they wanted to change jobs real often, move to some other state, some other place. Maybe things will be a little better over there. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Amen. But there's a problem. It's a barbed wire fence. You got to go through it. But, you know, most people who are successful simply stay with something. And if you're successful in walking with God and living for God, it's because you stay with it and you're faithful to it. Amen. And people who are spiritually successful are those who make the choice to consistently live their faith. I went to college. I went to high school with a man named David Mathis, and he was wild as anyway. He wasn't tame. That's the only way I know how to say it. But somewhere along the line, he had an accident. And he got messed up pretty bad, and he came to know Jesus. And it was a genuine walk with God. I mean, he really repented. He got right with God. God saved him. God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And he didn't miss a service. And he continued that way. It wasn't just for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. But he would always greet you and say, "Brother, how you doing? God bless you. How you doing? You know, things going all right. Are you ready for the rapture?" He'd say stuff like that all the time. And so I admired that he had been such a changed man, powerfully changed. He didn't preach, but he was always, wherever you met him, he's going to say something about God. "God bless you. How you doing? How's it going?" You know. And so he got a job here a few years ago at Walmart in Stephenville, Texas, which is 25 miles from DeLeon. And he was a guy that has the buggy ready for you when you go in the door and greet you. And it was all say, "Praise God, brother. How you doing?" And I don't care if his person didn't know anything about God. That's what he was going to say. And so he continued that way. He was faithful to do that. And after a while, the people at Walmart, the people that run the store, they got kind of aggravated about it, him saying, "God bless you and how are you doing," to everybody that come in. And so they were going to send him on his way. But the people of the town, they went into the manager of that store and said, "If you send that guy away that says, 'God bless you, how you're doing' every day," said, "we're going to shop somewhere else. We're not going to shop at your Walmart." He's still employed today. But that's an example of somebody being faithful. Praise God. And Jesus said to people of his day, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." If you continue. So God intended for us to be faithful to him. But here in our scripture reading today, Israel's unfaithfulness to God is viewed as spiritual harlotry. And I don't like to say that word here, but anyway, that's just what the Bible calls it, so that's what we're going to call it. If you go back to the 5th chapter, in verse 3, "I know Ephraim," which is another name for Israel, northern kingdom, "and Israel is not hidden from me, for now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled." 5 and 4, "They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in it in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them." So we know that it had become a way of life just of being unfaithful to follow the one true God. Because you see, idolatry and serving and worshiping other gods was equal with spiritual adultery to God in the eyes of God. And so that's what the people of Israel had done. And God was not blessing them anymore, or could not bless them anymore, because God cannot bless idolatry. And they were pledged to serve one God. God's first commandment was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So idolatry was like marital unfaithfulness against the Lord. It was committing spiritual adultery. To Israel, faithfulness to God would be continually looking to Jehovah God for guidance, for daily behavior, and for instruction in righteous living. If they continued and were faithful to look to God and look to the commandments and even the expansion of the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, then they would know what God expected and things would go well with them if they would just be faithful to God. And friend, to you and I as the church, faithfulness to God is this, is to live the gospel, not just proclaim or not just profess the gospel, but to live the gospel and to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's faithfulness to God. And I want us as a church, as an individual, as people, as a congregation, to be faithful to God and sending the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're trying to do that. Praise the Lord. We're not here to compete with somebody else to see how many missionaries we can, how many more missionaries we can support than the next church. We're here to just do our part and to send this gospel as far as it can be sent. Amen. And we have testimony coming all the time of people that have been saved, been born again, not because I prayed the right prayer, not because you prayed the right prayer, not because we gave so much money, but because we obeyed God and gave money and sent people to the end of the earth to take this gospel, this wonderful gospel. I want to tell you, for people that know nothing about God, it's good news when a Savior comes. It's good news when they're forgiven of their sins. It's good news that they don't have to die and go to hell, but they can die and go to heaven and be born again of God's Spirit and be people of God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing of God. So we want to be faithful as a congregation and as individuals. And so here, Hosea knew the Bible, what he had of that day. He didn't have a King James Bible. There wasn't even an English language until about the 7th or 8th century, if you're wondering about that. But he had the Old Testament scriptures, didn't have the New Testament. But the law, the Ten Commandments, identified every aspect of life, such as dealing with family, relation to neighbors, civil obedience, and even punishment. And it would teach the nation of Israel how to keep the commandments of God. And the first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with honoring God or loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind and body. The last six commandments would have to do with loving your neighbors yourself. And so the Ten Commandments were there, and they were not to be tinkered with or toyed with or to be put in a political ring so somebody could identify what the law was saying. It was very plain what it said. Man. And some people today are like Charles Darwin in the theory of evolution. One day a friend of his caught him reading the Bible. And he said, "Mr. Darwin, why are you reading the Bible?" He said, "I'm looking for loopholes." There are no loopholes in the commandments, Ten Commandments. God knows what he made it where anybody can understand it. But Jesus said the law and the prophets hang upon two commandments. First commandment, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment, loving your neighbors yourself. And Jesus said on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay. And so you and I need to be obedient and to be faithful to what God commanded. Praise the Lord. For the believer to be faithful, it would be to continue in the faith that saved you. It would mean not returning to the life God saved you from the sins you formerly lived in. But it would mean to continue in the faith that would be faithful to God. It would mean to faithfully worship, to take responsibility for yourself and your family to be in God's house. To have your family continually filled with truth instead of with ungodliness that they hear every day. How many kids, how many people grow up with a locker room moral code? That's the way your kids will be raised. You never have them in church, you never teach them the Word of God, never have them in Sunday school. You say, well, I don't like Sunday school. Again, let me tell you something. I believe in Sunday school. And we have a generation of people today of church kids that know nothing about the story of David and Goliath or Jonah and the whale or whatever simple story that we take for granted that we knew. My friend, people need what God has to say. We need to be faithful to God and His house. Amen. And so we need to be faithful. And let me just say this. Faithfulness requires repentance sometimes. You say, well, I don't need to repent. Well, you probably do right now. So, faithfulness requires repentance. The first three verses here, it says, God challenges the people here. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. He is torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken us, but He will bind us up. You know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows He's working with the people that are going to mess up, that are going to fail, that need restoring, that need to get back right with Him. He's dealing with people He knows need to repent. And so, therefore, God is faithful to bind people up. You know He is torn, but He will heal us. God does discipline His people. Thank God that He does. He says, after 2 days He will revive us, and on the third day He will raise us up. That may refer to some specific time that they were allowed there to repent. And so, when God's people truly repent, God is eager to restore relationship with Him. And it is the goodness of God, the Bible tells us, the New Testament, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. How many times, ask yourself this question, how many times did you call on God to put you back together? I've met people who are just falling apart. I've fell apart a few times. I don't need you to tell me how bad. But there's times, you know, when you just lose it, so to speak, and you just need God's help to put you back together. Nobody can put you back together. You've had counseling from a lot of people. And that's good. Counseling is good, but that's not good enough. You need God's help. And you've had to have God to put you back together. So for what purpose? God put you back together so you can be faithful to Him. Amen. So faithfulness requires repentance. And the good news is God is faithful, and faithful is who God is. Praise the Lord. It's one word that would describe Him, one of many words. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. For God will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so God allows us things to happen. God doesn't tempt any man, but people overcome by temptation many times. But God is faithful, what? To bring them back and to offer them a way of escape. If they'll repent, amen. And God, we use this verse many times where it says, you know, and people rephrase it and say, God won't put more on you than you can bear. And He doesn't, but He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to say no to. And God gives you the power to say no. He'll make a way of escape if you do fail. And so faithfulness requires repentance. But let's ask this question. Why should I be faithful to God? First reason I can think of is because God is continually faithful to us. But why be faithful? Because our Savior Jesus was faithful in providing redemption for us. Jesus never stopped His journey to the cross. He would go through many things. He would speak to many people before He even got to the cross, before He even got to the journey to the cross. And when He got to the cross, He would suffer the shame, disgrace, insults of people, torture, beating, and death. And He knew all of this was going to come upon Him. But there's a place in Scripture that He said He set His face steadfastly toward Jerusalem when He knew what would happen when He got there. And on His way to there, He passed through Samaria and did some ministry work there. A woman at the well was saved, and the whole town came out to hear what Jesus did, that He was the Messiah. And many things happened before He got to the cross. But He all time knew that that was programmed for Him, not just programmed, but it was the will of God, His Father, to go to the cross. And Jesus never turned away from the cross. He never turned back from going and to be treated the way He would be treated. He never turned away from you and I. He was faithful to pay the price to atone for our sins and give us forgiveness and eternal life. He never quit. He was faithful. Praise the Lord. And so he set his face steadfastly to going to Jerusalem, knowing that what would happen there. And that was the fulfillment of a prophecy of Scripture 700 years before Christ. Isaiah 50:7, "For the Lord will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Jesus steadfastly set his face to be faithful to his Father's will and to accomplish redemption for you and I. Can't we have that same determination to be faithful to God? God has not asked us to do something that's too hard. He's asked us to be faithful to him. Can we be faithful to God as a church to send individuals to the mission field? Can we be faithful to be a missionary to the mission field that we're in right now? I can assure you that not everybody in Quitman is saved and on fire for God. People need Jesus right here in our own community. Why should we be faithful? Because God promises victory to those who are faithful. I've met a few people that just seem to glory in being beat down and depressed and telling you how hard they have it all the time. You know, how they have bad luck if they all the time. Don't necessarily believe in luck. But I heard of a story. I know you pause when you hear me say that. A man came up to a place where it said lost dog. In the description of the lost dog, he'd had one ear chewed off. One leg was broken. His tail was gone. And he had disease, had ticks all over him. And the end of the request was, responds to the name Lucky. So I know people that they had it hard, I've done all this and I've brought it on myself. But let me tell you something, God wants you to have victory instead in your life. And we need to be faithful to God, because in God there's not defeat, in God there's victory. I'm not telling you bad things don't happen to good people, they do all the time, but I'll tell you, God has eternal good for you and I. And I look at the book of Joshua, I just finished it, I read it here the second time, finished it through this week. But Joshua was called to a mission that it would require faithfulness. He was to lead Canaan, or lead Israel out to the Canaanites. They would go against the most powerful peoples on earth at that time. And they would conquer and receive that land as an inheritance. Because they were faithful, they were able to go up against giants, against walled cities, against enemies that were too strong and too powerful for them, and God would help them because they were faithful. And Joshua never thought one time about not going to the promised land. He said, God, I want you to be with you. And God promised him, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. They went, they conquered Canaan's land. There was no giant too giant for them. There was no wall too big for them. There was nothing too hard for the Lord, because God went with them. As a matter of fact, in one battle, God worked with him so graciously that he sent great hailstones out of heaven that killed more people than died by the edge of the sword. That's the kind of God I want working for me. Praise the Lord. Or I want to work for. And at the end, God never did fail because they were faithful. At the end of his journey, Joshua said, the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. That is a faithful God, but they were faithful to walk after the Lord. And so, why should we be faithful? Because God is returning for his faithful church. Amen. And we've got to be faithful. We've got to love God, got to serve God, and he's returning for a faithful church. And there's a reward for faithfulness in Scriptures. The reward for faithfulness, it inspires other people to be faithful. You may think, well, my life doesn't count. Sure, it counts. God didn't save you because you don't count. God saves you to make a difference. And your faithfulness is an example and a testimony to other people. I'm not talking about just church attendance. I am talking about that. But I am talking about your just faithfulness to live for God and serve God every day, out on the job, wherever you're at. Your life is a testimony of what God can do. Praise the Lord. And so your faithfulness to God, it inspires others to be faithful. You say, well, I've seen people that fail. I have too. And you've seen yourself fail, and I have too. But I want to tell you something. When you're faithful to God, it makes a difference in the world that's around you. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was faithful to God. He had a lot in his past that he regretted, and you can see it come to pass. He would come back and say, I can't believe I was like that before. That's not the exact words. But he persecuted the church. He said, I was the worst of sinners. I was the chiefest of sinners because I persecuted the church. But he went on, and he remained faithful to God. Once he was saved, he turned from a persecutor of the church to a proclaimer of the gospel. And he never quit. He served God. He lived for God. He traveled for God. He preached Christ everywhere. I don't care. The devil was never at rest if Paul was awake, because he's preaching the gospel, whether in prison or whether on the Damascus or on the road somewhere else. He would preach Christ and Christ alone forever. Amen. And he was going to Jerusalem, Paul was, knowing that he would be there, prophesied to him that bad things awaited him in Jerusalem. But he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Amen. So he was faithful to God continually, powerfully, and wonderfully. And God used him to, at the end of his life, he could say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I've been faithful. What God called me to do, my friend, you want to be faithful to God. Hallelujah. Let me end with this. The book of Revelation chapter 2. It's a long ways from Hosea. Jesus tells a persecuted church, that church at Smyrna, the persecuted church. They had been persecuted terribly. And Jesus warns them that something is about to happen to them. Revelation 2:10, the church of Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. Jesus is saying, you're going to undergo some persecution here. That you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, probably a 10-day period that they would undergo severe tribulation or a persecution. But he says, just be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So Jesus told them and tells us today in the church, he says, be faithful for a while. No, for a little while, the things get going better. No, he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Some of them would be martyred for their faith. Some of us may be and may not be. I hope not. But anyway, if we are, we're to be faithful unto death. And he has given us a crown of life. My friend, we got the greatest thing just ahead for the children of God. We've got a heaven awaiting for us. We've got eternal life, a place without pain, sorrow, sickness, or death. We've got the best thing that could ever be given unto us. Mankind cannot produce anything, but God offers it free if we'll be faithful to him. Praise the Lord. With God, eternal blessings are ahead. Just remain faithful. When you fail, repent and be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit and keep on faithfully walking with God. Amen. You'll be glad that you were faithful to God, because Jesus is returning for a church that's faithful. Praise God.